Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area. And all the people started coming to him. And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. When they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he bent down and wrote on the ground. In response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he is left alone with the woman before him. And Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." The Gospel of the Lord. Two times in the year, the priest can come out in the Mass wearing somewhat striking color. And that was last week, as well as 1 week in Advent. And that color is pink. And that color pink is symbolic of joy. Joy. About 10 years ago, a movie came out in the public theaters which somewhat shocked me because it was one of the most religious movies that came out, and it was, I saw it in Norwalk and I saw it in Anaheim, and it was made in Mexico by the producers, Dos Corazones, means two hearts. And the name of the film in Spanish was El Gran Milagro, if you speak Spanish. In English, The Greatest Miracle. Now, let me comment on that related to the gospel today and that color pink. It's a story about how sadness is turned into joy. Because we'd all have to admit that all of us want to be happy. We're all in pursuit of happiness, whether we know that or not. One of the reasons why so many people are sad is because they're looking for happiness and joy in the wrong place. Why was it that about 8 years ago in Palo Alto, you had these teenagers that were sons and daughters of multimillionaires that were committing suicide, many, about 7 years ago? I mean, their parents had money basically coming out of their ears, no? Working in Apple, working in these huge corporations where they're just raking in the money. And I think it's this, is that it's easy to confuse these two words, pleasure and happiness. Pleasure you can buy. You can buy pleasure with money. And pleasure depends upon external stimuli. But joy, happiness, comes from within. And it comes through an encounter with Christ. So this movie, The Gran Milagro, is a movie where you see these three people who were basically in a profound pit of despair. Two of them were widows. A young widow who had a little son whose name was Diego, who was about 11 years old. And the name was Monica. And then there was an older widow. And she lost her spouse and was alone. And then there was a bus driver who suffered a lot because his son was dying of terminal cancer. The three of them start off the movie in this profound pit of despair. Something happens. There's a radical transformation in their lives when God sends to them their guardian angels. All of you have a guardian angel, and the purpose of the guardian angels is to bring us closer to Christ, bring us closer to the church, bring us closer to true, authentic happiness. So the three different people are led to the same place by their guardian angel. That place was the church. And in the church was the Mass. You know, my friends, in about 7 weeks, God willing, you're going to be confirmed. Hopefully. Make sure that you carry out your service hours, you say your prayers, make sure that you put it on now. You really try to pour it on. Practically, you only have about 4 weeks left because we got 2 weeks vacation, so you really don't have too much time. So if up to this point you've been dragging your feet in confirmation, pour it on now. You know, a baseball team can be losing the whole game and they can win it in the bottom of the ninth by a grand slam or by a two-run homer, if you know anything about sports. If you're running cross-country, you can be behind the whole thing. You pour it on, you just break the tape. Or you watch something like Cinderella Man, I mean, you get a knockout, you can win the boxing match if you fight to the end. That's the second reading of St. Paul. Don't look behind, but focus on Christ. Now, the point I'd like to make now is this. In that movie, they go into the Mass. And the guardian angel points out to them, there are some people that come to Mass and they don't get anything out of Mass. And that might be you. You might be forced to confirmation, you're forced at Mass, you don't really want to be here. I mean, there's probably some of you that are in that condition, and I'll pray for you. If that's the case, you shouldn't be confirmed. You hear me? I'm honest. You shouldn't be confirmed if you're forced to confirmation, you're forced to Mass, you're here only because your parents are kicking in the duff. I mean, excuse my English, no? You shouldn't. You're not ready. Right now, you should be at the highest point of your spiritual life. You're going to be confirmed in 7 weeks. So if you're dragging your feet now, I would honestly say, tell your teacher, tell Adnella, Father Larry, or tell me, I'm not ready to be confirmed, and do another year. I really believe it is better for you to really be convicted of the importance of your Catholic faith with a firm conviction and enter in with all your heart than to be, dragging your feet, forcing yourself into confirmation to be confirmed. And that's really not my idea. It's the idea of the Church. It's called dispositive grace in theology. Dispositive grace means you're going to receive graces only in as much as you're well disposed. But the heart of confirmation, above and beyond your class this year and last year, is what's happening now. If you don't understand what's happening now in this Mass, you don't appreciate it, you have a Catholic identity crisis. You don't. Maybe that sounds like a psychobabble from the 70s, but I like that idea. A Catholic identity crisis. That would mean if you go to play baseball, in your head you're forgetting to bring the bat when you're going to hit. Come on. You're going to hit it with your pinky? Okay, the Catholic identity crisis is related, do you really understand what's in Mass? If you don't, I tell your teacher, I think I should have another year. I really think you should be honest. Don't be a liar, no? Tell your teacher, I'm not ready, I should do another year. And I believe next year, by the year 220, I'll be ready to be confirmed. Better an extra year where you're on fire than you're just kind of mediocre, dragging your feet, kind of going through the motions. Huh? Just going through the motions. You're a hypocrite, in a certain sense. No, you say something with your lips, but you don't mean it with your heart. No. Years ago, and I'll go back to the movie, years ago, my mother was teaching confirmation in Massachusetts, and she had a really tough group. And one of the girls was pretty arrogant, if I can use the word obnoxious. And she said to my mom, "Mrs. Broom, I don't get anything out of Mass." My mom said, "You don't get anything out of Mass because you don't bring anything to Mass." Amen. Yeah. And my mom used this analogy. If you go to a birthday party, as soon as you enter the door, you say, "Where's the cake?" Come on. You're a rude dude. You are. You go there expecting to get the ice cream and cake, but you got to give a gift before. You got to bring something. I think that that's one of our problems, is we don't place anything on the altar. And that was the very heart of that movie for me, is that the guardian angel said, look, you got to place something on the altar. I have a free Mass now. My intentions are so many that altar is going to collapse. Probably have to buy a new altar, no? I place so many intentions on the altar. For all the people in St. Peter Chanel, for the confirmation students, for your parents, for the souls in purgatory, for the conversion of sinners today, for the sanctification of the church, for the bishops, the priests. That's on the altar, in my intention. There's no reason why you can't do the same. But you should always place on the altar three primary intentions. And if you're going to be living this out, what I'm saying right now, I say you're ready to be confirmed every time you come to Mass. Because the heart of confirmation is what we're doing now. Classes are important. You've got great teachers, no? I think about the best teachers in LA are right here. You got great teachers. But it's not enough. If Jesus is not your primary teacher, the way, the truth, and the life, you got a Catholic identity crisis. And all the teachers are trying to point you to confession and the Mass, those two sacraments. How many parishes in LA have two priests here in confession at 10 o'clock in the morning with a priest celebrating the Mass? This is probably the only parish in all LA. You're spoiled. You are. You're God's spoiled children. Thank God for that. How many of you have priests that are actually your teachers? Father Larry, I've got three classes, the first year classes. Probably the only parish in LA, no? We're teachers. You got the best of the best. You got the cream of the crop. You're on the apex, the zenith. You're way up there. Take advantage of it. So in this Mass, please pray for someone that passed away, some soul in purgatory. You saw the movie, that pious widow was going up there, she received communion, and the floor was open, those souls were trying to get out there, and the guardian angel took that soul to heaven because of her communion. All of you know someone that passed away. My father died 2 years ago. I still pray for him. I don't know any lay person that had more Masses offered in the world than my father. I mean, Masses all over the country, or even in Mexico, praying for my father. He was a good man. He got a son that's a priest, speaking to you now. Yeah? He was a good man, but he wasn't perfect. And I'm going to be praying for my father until I die. You got a grandfather that passed away. Maybe he's going to be in purgatory a long time unless you start to pray for him right now. Think about the golden rule. Do to others what you want them to do to you. When you die, I'm sure you want people to pray for you, right? And as much as possible. A Gregorian Mass. Second is, all of you know some relative or friend that no longer goes to church, right? Hello? We all have relatives and friends that have walked away from the church. I was listening to Monsignor Stuart Swetland this morning, who's on Relevant Radio, and he said the biggest group in the country now are the nones, the non-believers. They've already passed the Catholics and the Protestants. It's kind of scary. Biggest group are those who say they don't believe in any form of religion. They're either agnostics or atheists. That means they've rejected God. Our country is becoming more and more pagan, agnostic, atheistic. So if you're not on fire now, what's going to happen when you go to the university? You know, most young people go to the university, you lose your faith there. I hope it's not going to be your case. I hope not. Most young people that go to the university, they lose their faith. Right now, you're kind of in a protected environment. Once you're thrown out of the university, unless you've got a really strong faith, you're going to lose it. Now's the time to be strong. And the third grace you want to beg for is, I've said this over the past couple of years, is this. Beg for, when you receive communion, for three graces. For a heart transplant A mind transplant and a blood transfusion. Heart transplant, what does that mean? You're going to receive the heart of Jesus. That's not metaphorical, that's real. You receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. Isn't that true? You receive the heart of Christ. Say, Jesus, give me your heart so I can love you with all of my heart. As for a mind transplant, face it, look, if you look at your mind, how many ugly thoughts we have, right? Probably more ugly thoughts than good thoughts, no? Ugly thoughts. Because what we maybe watched on the internet, or maybe what we see on TV, or on the street, we got a lot of... Our ugly thoughts are very often dependent upon what we see, because what goes into our eyes goes up here. And our mind is like an archives. None of you have a doctorate in psychology, but everything that happens to us is up here. It's the memory bank. We want to fill ourselves with good ideas. So we receive the mind of Christ in Holy Communion. And the other day I was with my mother in Vero Beach, Florida, about 3 weeks ago. We had a really good conversation. She said, son, when we receive communion, we receive a blood transfusion. I never thought about that. I said, Mom, you hit the nail on the head. What does that happen? Because of original sin, we've got gluttony. We've got lust. We've got greed. We got sloth. We got anger. We got envy. We got pride, right? Our blood is contaminated. It's called concupiscence, right? Our blood is contaminated with concupiscence. When you receive communion, you got the blood of Christ that's flowing through your whole system. If you understand this homily and you accept it, you're ready for confirmation. You are. Because the very heart of confirmation is the heart of Christ. And the heart of Christ is present right now in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So let's turn to the Blessed Virgin Mary, as next week is Holy Week. Holy Week. Then Easter. We're heading toward the very heart of the church year. Let's beg for the grace to really go deep in our faith. So that on May 25th, we're all ready to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen.